الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We'll just make a few muzakaras, that is, a few things which we remind ourselves of, which are important. We see that our kalima, by which we become Muslim, where Iman comes into us, starts with la, the negation. So before the affirmative is first the negation. And similarly we read, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. There again, la abudu ma ta'budun. That we don't worship what you worship. So in other words, all the wrong things in our lives, we must take it out. When we make our dhikr also, when we are making la ilaha, then la ilaha, take out all the wrong things from the heart. And after that comes illallah. If you want to put clean, if you want to put water in a glass, ordinary tap water, the glass must first be cleaned. First clean it, then put the tap water in there. And if it is zamzam, how much more won't we clean that glass? So if you want Allah to come into the heart, then first all the negative things we must take out. And when we take out the negative things, then we don't even have to, so to say, invite Allah to come. The minute the heart is clean, Allah comes in that heart. And when Allah is in the heart of a person, only He knows what enjoyment he gets. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gives this example that the enjoyment and the closeness of Allah Ta'ala which the Ahlullah enjoy, like somebody tries to explain somebody what who doesn't know about a mango, that what the enjoyment of it is, what the taste is. He will try, perhaps in nowadays he'll show him a photo, also a picture, but still the taste by the picture cannot come. And then he tells him it's like this, like that, but I can't tell you what it is like. Nobody can explain what the enjoyment of it has to do with the tasting and the eating of it. And a very important point our ulama also explained, that those who haven't tasted a mango have got no right to deny the enjoyment of a mango. If they didn't enjoy it, they don't know what is it, they've got no right to deny that there is enjoyment in a mango. So, and those who tasted it, they know what that enjoyment is. So, first we have to clean ourselves. So, a few things, all of us, it applies to us as Muslims. And Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar is also our duty. Wrong things that happen, we should try and stop it. For a mu'min, when we see anything wrong, then we should stop it by the force of our hand. That is the highest form of Iman, which unfortunately many people will look down upon. We will say that, but he could have explained to him, he could tell him afterwards, why did he tell him there? The highest level of Iman is that a person stops it by the force of his hand. Whether then it's our spouses, whether it is our children, whether it is anyone else, the requirement of Iman is that we stop it. Secondly, if not, then by the tongue. Then explain and say, this is wrong. But we keep quiet. We say that, I didn't want to speak because it will just cause more problems. And in that way, the wrong is thriving all the time. It is absolutely necessary that what is wrong must be said. And the third is that a person at least regards it as evil, or that he changes it with his heart. That is what dua, he makes dua for the changing. Today when we hear of some evil happening, we say those people are like that. May they go to Jahannam for it. That is not the way. Try to change it with our du'as. Du'as Allah has given us. The heart is a very, very powerful thing Allah has given us. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written, even serious illnesses we can ward off with the power of the heart. And this is across the board. Animals, insan, non-Muslims also. Even animals, The heart is a very powerful. The lion, for example, has all its power. It lies in its heart, that power of it. It's got that courage and that willpower in its heart that it expresses the power then. Otherwise, in body size, the lion is not really a very big animal. There are many other animals that are much bigger than the lion, but it's got that heart. And then the heart that is filled with iman, what to say of that? And this was that heart of the Sahaba, filled with that iman, that they just overran the world wherever they went. So we also have got that heart and we must use it. So when wrong is taking place, at least, the least is to make dua. And we try and change it with our heart. So whatever wrong takes place, as ordinary Muslims also, as musallis also, as mutawallis, as imams, everyone according to his capacity is responsible. His responsibility is accordingly also. And even for the woman folk at home, though maybe some wrong taking place in the masjid, they come to know of it, they should also express their disgust of it, make dua for it, etc. Not like sort of just keep quiet. Keeping quiet is like condoning it. That is, we like accept it. The fuqaha have written, if a proposal is put to a girl and she keeps quiet, that is regarded as acceptance from her. She is accepting that proposal. So just keeping quiet is also like we are accepting what is happening all around us. So whatever type of thing, for example, one thing that happens in other countries, hopefully it doesn't happen in our country, wherever it happens, like ulama giving khutbah in the English language. That has become quite common in some countries, and mainly the Salafis. But we should be on our guard that our ulama don't do that, wherever. And we don't do it in any masjid. And if it does have to happen, or we come to know, we should make our efforts to stop it. So to understand that, the argument might be, it seems very nice that the people don't understand the Arabic. So we have to give the khutbah in English. But for that, fuqaha have mentioned and have permitted the pre-Jum'ah talk. So that whatever you want to say in your khutbah, you can say it in English. There is no problem whatsoever. We say that when the people listen to the khutbah, then they fall asleep because they're not understanding. So, how many people when listening to the talk in English or any other language, they also fall asleep. People don't take interest, even in other, when it's in their language, they also don't take interest. And they are not paying attention. That has to be worked upon. It doesn't mean we have to change the rules. And then, if it is in Arabic, wherever you are in the world, if you are in China, you are in any African country, any Asian country, when it is in Arabic, every Muslim, though he does not understand, but is at home with it. He knows that this is now the khutbah. And he feels comfortable. If, for example, it has to be in Chinese language, and then there is an African person there who doesn't know, we don't know Chinese, we will feel very out of place. And if it is in some other place, if the khutbah is given in the Gujarati language, the people who don't understand Gujarati, they will be out of place. But if it is in Arabic, across the board, all understand that it is the khutbah, and every Muslim is comfortable with Arabic. And then again, it won't be confined to the khutbah only. Then the adhan also, you must give it in all the other whatever languages of that place. And if it is given in all that languages, for example, it's given in the Chinese language. And a Muslim also, a good staunch Muslim also, when he won't understand that what is this, he'll perhaps make a big, he'll argue what this big noise about. Because he's not understanding. Or he will even make a joke about it. But when it is in Arabic, though he doesn't understand, if he's got little knowledge not to understand the adhan, it's not a difficult thing, the meaning of the adhan. But even if we don't understand at all, a Muslim is very comfortable with the adhan in Arabic. Then it will go further. Namaz also, Now read all the text and the namaz, read it in other languages. We read the namaz now in the English language. Adhan, for example, the Arabic words are such that they are so comforting, soothing, and a person, even non-Muslims, attest to this in around the world, that they find the Adhan to be very soothing, and they are very comfortable with it. Now, how it is said, the Adhan, try and say, for example, Allahu Akbar, God is the greatest. Now try and say, how is the enjoyment, which even a person who doesn't understand Arabic, what he gets in Allahu Akbar, he will never get in what God is the greatest. La ilaha, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Now you're saying it in Arabic, in English, I bear witness that there is no God besides Allah. That enjoyment which is in Arabic, how it is said, and the recitation of the Quran Sharif in the Arabic language, you will never get that in any other language. So we should try and make sure that if there is any type of anything moving away from this, then we should try and every person is responsible. Don't just pass any remark, or we just keep quiet, or we just leave it that the ulama must sort it out. Everyone is responsible. And whoever will do his share will be rewarded by Allah Ta'ala accordingly also. So our whole deen. And then also we should try that our Jummah sequence also remains in order. That is, Adhan is given, after that the four sunnahs. Adhan is given for namaz. Adhan is not given for the bayan. Many places we have Adhan, then we have the bayan. Some places now, immediately after the Adhan, bayan is first given. And then sunnahs are read afterwards. So the Adhan is not given for the bayan. Adhan is given for namaz. So when the Adhan goes, we have our pre-Jummah talk before the Adhan. And then give Adhan, four sunnahs, the khutbah, and then namaz. So our sequence is exactly as it was taught to us in the sunnah. So we should try and adopt that tariqah. And we'll try and introduce it, encourage it, wherever we are in our masjid, to try and have it in that system, in the correct system. And we maintain that. So that is very, very important that we don't, and this has come from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of the Sahaba, Islam spread in the world. Especially in the time of Sayyidina Umar, Hazrat Usman, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, much more Islam spread. In the time of Hazrat Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala, the time of the Sahaba, after that, Islam kept on spreading. But they did not give the khutbah in English or the local language anywhere. They did not give the adhan in the local language anywhere. Neither did they make the namaz with the local in the local dialect. They kept it in the Arabic, and that is like the Quran Sharif. That is Quran Sharif, which is in the Arabic language. And not only the modern Arabic, colloquial Arabic, but the Arabic of the Quran. That is Quran Sharif. And in English, it's not Quran Sharif. It's a translation of the Quran Sharif. In Urdu, it's not the Quran Sharif. It's a translation of the Quran Sharif. So the Quran Sharif is the Quran Sharif, and nothing can replace it, and nothing else should come in its place. In fact, the Fuqaha have written that if the khutbah is given in another language besides Arabic, some of the Fuqaha, the jurors, they say namaz is not valid. So your namaz also is not made if the khutbah was not given in the Arabic language. So this is a very important aspect that we should be conscious about. And also how to spread deen. It is very important we use the correct means. A person's niyat can be 100% good. That according to the times now, or according to our youth, we have to introduce new things in our deen. Your niyat can be 100% correct, and with the niyat alone, no matter how much ikhlas in it, is not sufficient. The tariqah and the method must also be correct. If a person, for example, he sees the rich people are not giving zakat, and he's 100% sincere, and he goes and robs the rich people, and he takes only from them so much how much they are responsible for zakat, and he doesn't keep 1 cent by him, he gives it all to the poor, but it won't be acceptable. In fact, he'll be guilty of crime. Though his niyat is 100% correct, and very good niyat, the method also must be correct. So to propagate deen, your niyat can be as good as it is, sincere as you are, but your method also must be correct. Mufti Taqi Usmani, he himself says that he was with Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah ali in Islamabad, where there was a conference about some matters of deen together with the government. And Maulana gave a very, very good talk there. And then people suggested if this would come on TV, then much more people will benefit. And this bayan of yours, which was so good, how many people won't listen? And it will reach so many people. Maulana flatly refused. He said, deen cannot be spread by these methods. And so he flatly refused. And Mufti Taqi Usmani, who was with, he narrates this whole incident. So it is totally, to use the wrong. Maulana Ilyas Sahab, Muhammad Ilyas Sahab, rahmatullah Ali said, if we try and spread deen through technology or any other method, then technology will come alive, deen won't come alive. Deen comes alive with the fuel of deen. If we have an ox wagon, and you put a high octane petrol in that ox wagon. You need what is required there. There put 2 oxen, put 8, 12 oxen, and then let it pull it. If you have got a car, don't put oxen to pull the car. Now put your petrol, don't put paraffin, don't put diesel, don't put water in the petrol tank. Put the required fuel. In the same way, you've got a jet airliner. Don't go and put high-octane petrol which is used for a car. You need jet fuel there now. So Islam needs its own fuel. And the fuel of Islam is how much more we make sacrifice. The more, that's why we see the Jamaat work, what the sacrifices they were make and what great sacrifices, that how deen is becoming alive and spreading in the world. So deen, to spread deen, the more sacrifices, the more simplicity, the more sincerity, the more according to sunnah it will be. Maulana Yusuf, rahmatullah ali, Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri, rahmatullah ali said, even if we have to use the TV for example, no matter how good our intention is that so many people will listen and the message will reach, so many people will see and the message will reach to so many people, but we will be unsuccessful by Allah. Just like that person who went and collect zakat money by committing crime. He will be responsible by Allah Ta'ala and be taken for task, though his niyat could be as sincere as it is. So therefore, the correct method is required to spread deen, whether it is anything else also. And to bring deen alive, whatever amount of sacrifice and how much of deen, those people who want to spread deen have to be first in their lives. When deen will be in their lives, then deen will spread. If deen is not in our lives, then how will deen spread? It is like, for example, we hear certain place, there are droughts, the people haven't got water, and you're running a water bottling company you have got, and you have got a horse and trailer also, and you just heard and you jumped in your horse and trailer and you drove off to that place, but you didn't fill up water in your truck. And you went there with an empty truck, what are you going to give them? So we have to have deen first in us, then we will be able to spread deen. If we haven't got deen, and we got the opposite of deen, photography, which is totally haram, and we want to spread Islam through the haram means, the Islam will not spread in the haram will spread. And the people of batil and falsehood, whether it be Christians or any other nation or the people of dunya, were they to spread their things, they will use batil to spread their things. But for haq to spread, you can't use batil to spread haq. For haq, you need haq to spread haq. So the truth has to be used. So no matter, like for example, we want to entice our youth to come to deen, and we have some soccer tournaments, etc. all that, that's not going to spread deen. That soccer tournaments will spread. They will become more connected with all soccer and sports, and which is a terrible haram, which we have been drawn into in such a way that many, many of us across the board, we are mad over the sports. And we follow the teams, etc. Though it is all match fixing, it has become gambling. It is not even sports anymore. It has become not even just entertainment. And we also, if you playing the sport, perhaps you get some exercise or something. Which also, how many people they admit that, for example, in old age, they've got knee problem, back problem, the sports they were playing. Whether it was the rugby especially, which causes a lot of injuries, or the other sports also. So what did that give to them? Just all those things. And to support the teams, that is the height of stupidity. And to support kuffar teams, and to go like mad over them, this is the height of the idiosity and stupidity. And today, unfortunately, we are so much involved in it. Good people, learned people, we also involved in all this. So, and then all the tournaments and that, deen won't spread in that way. And we say they are young people, right, way back perhaps in the 1910s or somewhere there. That was the time they coined the term teenagers. Before that there was nothing like teenagers. Now this teenager, they feel from 13 to 19, they like a complete different class. They are that class that they can do what they want to, they're not responsible for what they do. They don't have to earn, parents must earn and support them. And parents mustn't tell them, we are grown up now. It's a whole mentality of its own, which has brought complete ruin and destruction, not only to the Muslims, but to the people of the world, where the teenagers don't want to listen to their teachers, they don't want to listen to their parents, they don't want to listen to anyone. We must do as we want to. We belong to, it's now our days. Leave us alone to ourselves. It's our days now, and that we must do all the wrong things. On the other hand, we see Osama, Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 17 years, and we see Fatih of Sindh, Muhammad ibn Qasim radiallahu ta'ala anhum, 17 years old, and so many other great people in this young age when they were brought up, and there wasn't all this teenager business. Hey, those people, what results they produced. Muhammad ibn Qasim, rahmatullah alayhi, the people in Sindh where there was so much zulm on the woman and so much of oppression on the woman, he went and he set them free from all that oppression. Young people like this. Usama ibn Zayd, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhum was in his army. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in his army. And they went out 2 kilometers about, out of Medina Sharif. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's news, health news was coming all the time. They should take permission from him to go and see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every time. So this is the position of what we call today teenagers. And today teenagers means that just leave them alone. And we are meeting them on their terms. They want their soccer and they want their tournaments, so give them their tournaments. We're not bringing them into the terms of need. We have to bring them here, not we meet them there. And even if the intention is, the object of having this tournament is to bring them, but the method is wrong. You with the wrong method, you're only going to spread the wrong. You are not, the right won't come from there. From the wrong will spread. That is a very important malfuz of Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayh, that if you use the wrong methods to spread deen, the wrong will spread, deen won't spread. If you want deen to spread, use deen, the methods of deen, which are from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and when they implemented it properly, Islam spread in the whole world. Those places, all these countries, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, All these countries, Malaysia, Indonesia, they were not Muslim countries. They were all in all different Arabic. Their language was not Arabic. Their dressing was not Islamic. They were completely different. But the Sahaba went with the true deen and presented. They had the deen in their lives. They presented the true deen and Islam spread. And today, Egypt is known as an Arab country. Syria is known as an Arab country. These were not Arab countries. So, which is very important. And the important thing is that each one of us, we are responsible. And we should see to it that in our areas, wherever, and the whole world is our area. If anything wrong, we should try to stop it with our hand if we can. If we can't, then at least with our words we speak and decry it and all the wrong things. If not, then at least dua we make that Allah brings the right thing. And it is also very, very important that we see who we associate ourselves with. First is also again in our kalima, first is la, all the negative, the wrong. We should not be associating with those people. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali, when on one occasion Maulana Mahmood Hassan Sahib, his murid, came to visit him as usually he should go and visit him in Gangoi. He went at a time when Urus was carrying on. And this bidati people have this Urus, which is totally, it's a bidat, it's totally a gone against sunnah. And he came at that time. So Maulana told him, you, yeah? He said, I'm coming to visit you. He says that this time, though he had absolutely nothing to do with those people, he hated and the wrong ways, he had nothing to do. I'm coming to you. Hazrat said, this time when they all are coming, you are increasing their numbers. And it comes in the hadith, who increases the numbers of a people, he's counted amongst those people. So though your niyat is not there, your niyat can be very good also, or you got no niyat of that wrong, but you are part of that wrong, you are counted in that wrong. So it is very important we see that with who we associate and who we we increasing whose numbers. So it is very important people who are doing the wrong things, that we don't be on their platform. Our names don't appear with their names. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever is just outwardly also, you will be counted amongst those people. Qiyamah day, it must not happen that we are raised with the people of the wrongdoers, all the people who are doing the wrong. So we must be very careful that we don't get caught up in such situations. And it's not easy, a person does get caught up, but we must be alert, and that we don't associate and we negate all the wrong. The kuffar of Makkah, they even told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that let's make an agreement. You don't speak bad of our idols and we won't speak bad about your God. They also said one day or certain days we will worship your God and certain days you worship our idols. Allah totally nothing to do with those people. So whoever is in the wrong, we must not affiliate with them. We must not represent them. They must not, we must not be on their list anywhere. We must be not on their platform anywhere. They got their way and we got our way. They are totally a group of their own. And just like if we are traveling in an aeroplane and we don't agree with the pilot, we don't agree with the captain, which direction they're going. But where they're going, we are just passengers. We're going to go the same place. So if we're sitting with those people on the same platform and in the same on the same stage and the same wherever they are, their names appear, our names appear there. Where they will be going, we will also have to go there. We are part and parcel, though we are only passengers also. And if we are active members, even worse, if we are the active members in the wrong. So very important that all the wrong that is happening around us, and what those people want, peace, that you must have peace, don't speak bad about us. So that means that wrong must carry on, and nobody must tell anything about it, then you're a good Muslim. Then you've got very good akhlaq, and that you don't speak bad. The Sahaba, they in fact used to say that if we see any person, he's very good with his neighbor, then we fear mudahanat on that person. That is, we fear that he's not telling them what is the right. Because the right, al-haqqu murrun, generally the haqq is bitter. And when you tell somebody, they'll be displeased with you. So we must not be worried if people are displeased. We must be worried whether Allah is pleased with us or not. One sahabi encouraging and advising Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, in the matters of Allah ta'ala, don't worry what the people say. And in the matters of the people, consider the rights of Allah ta'ala. So we, in the rights of Allah ta'ala, we consider what the people will say. The people mustn't be upset with us. People mustn't talk bad about us. We want to be in the good books. So that is not a Muslim is not like that. He is one-sided and he's on the truth. He's not a munafiq showing those people also, I'm good with you also, I don't tell you anything bad. And with the people of Haq, he said, I'm with you also, you know me, I'm with you people. And there also, that should not be the case. So it's very important with all the fitnas that are happening, that we be on the right track and keep our akhirat in mind, our maut in mind. Nobody is going to come and help us in our qabr, our amal going to count, and the direction of our heart and what we got in our heart. May Allah guide us to righteousness. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanallah.